Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes. Anne Maysoon is not going to be in this week. Instead, we have an interview for you.
Also, I think we don't come out and say it in the episode, but Creativity Explored is a nonprofit art organization in San Francisco that provides programming for artists with disabilities, and you'll learn a lot more about it right now. Say your name and the organization that you're with.
Yes. My name is Leo Dugan, and I am on the bargaining team for Creativity Explored United. It's the union at my workplace, Creativity Explored, at the Mission in SF.
Sure enough. Yeah. Okay, so what's going on?
We're sort of in the midst of negotiating our first contract. We unionized about 2 years ago. It was right around the time I started working at Creativity Explored. So I was kind of like just thrust into the midst of it. And I wasn't part of the initial organizing of the union. So yeah, the whole process of figuring out the first contract has really been a learning experience for me about what's going on at the organization in general. Yeah, the main sort of situation that's going on while this is happening is just quite a bit of pushback and hostility from management, which seems classic.
It's kind of surprising with these, I mean, they're very progressive seeming organizations. Yeah. With progressive seeming histories. And
yes,
so it's, yeah, it's, yeah, surprising.
So in another way, it's actually very surprising.
Yeah.
That's a good point. It's been very disappointing, I think, to see it. And I only say it seems classic because we have so many sort of sister organizations and similar organizations that we've now heard from that are experiencing some of the same struggles and pushback. But yeah, you know, Creativity Explored is definitely, I think, sees itself as part of like the disability justice,
yes,
movement, and, you know, being a progressive institution in the arts generally. And it's part of the mission and everything. So it feels like a big contradiction. We've been targeted with sort of like retaliatory disciplinary actions for union activities.
How do they frame that? Like, when, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's so hard to understand because they really do have what seems like a reasonable to them justification for everything. Like, it's, but it feels very, yeah, unclear what's going on behind the scenes, because there obviously are conversations happening. It's not just impulsive. It's very strategic,
yeah,
from what we've seen and how long it's been going on and just the pattern of this behavior. But yeah, it's really just such a, yeah. I guess their justification has been mostly around kind of referring back to things in the handbook, maybe, that we did sign at some point, kind of really, really liberal interpretations, mm-hmm, of what the handbook means. For example, if we had a public-facing event at the gallery where we wore T-shirts for, you know, solidarity with the union during a period when layoffs were being threatened. We took a photo together in the gallery because we were all wearing our shirts. It was kind of a moment of like excited, like, we're all doing this together, solidarity. It wasn't even intended to be posted on any Instagram or, you know, social media for,
yeah.
And there, that action was responded to by management with disciplinary warnings. And the way that they justified that was by saying that we signed the handbook saying that no political speech could be used in the studio. Like,
that's bizarre. The artists, yeah, do political work.
Yeah. And so, we celebrate like Pride Month at the studio.
Yeah.
It's like organizationally there's, you know, engagement with political topics. So
right,
it's really kind of a pick and choose. And obviously this same handbook policy was used to shut down solidarity with Palestine.
Wow.
I mean, obviously, but that did happen, which was also super upsetting and disappointing. Because at the same time, you know, artists are making art about all sorts of, I mean, and art itself, you know, should be able to engage with political things like
of
that.
Of course.
That feels, it just feels like a huge censorship. Yeah.
Fiasco. It's a fiasco.
It's a fiasco. It's a mess. It's just, I think it's really taken a toll on my coworkers, myself. I think a lot of us are just feeling really like pushed to the limit of kind of like trying to respond to this and keep orienting ourselves towards making things better at right. the organization while just being faced constantly with this sense that like no change can happen and there's not an interest in change from management. We're making what feels like such reasonable requests in bargaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are the demands right now?
We started with some economic topics because my dog is...
We have a dog here.
We have a dog here.
In the quote-unquote studio.
Yeah, she's enjoying this topic of conversation. She's like, yeah.
So good.
We started with economic topics and bargaining because we had missed a cost of living adjustment because of like budgetary deficit that was going on. And then, so the deficit was announced during the initial round of bargaining. Layoffs were then announced. So we had to pause our bargaining to negotiate the terms of the layoffs, which I think really put a big wrench in. She's a licker. It really put a big wrench in like all of the relationship building we were trying to do with management. Not that it was like going super well previously, but I think this made things extra tense.
Right.
The layoff negotiations. And since then, we've really had to shift our focus away from economic proposals, even though those feel like the most urgent things that our membership want addressed in the workplace.
So that would be like a pay raise?
Pay raise, yeah, cost of living adjustment, kind of just general. Like there's also really specific ones that have to do with like out-of-class pay. There's quite a few coordinators in the organization that are frequently asked to like cover for each other, act up to cover for their managers when the managers are like on leave, and it's just not appropriately like recognized or compensated. So that was kind of it has been from the beginning like a big topic for us that we've gone back and forth with management so many times on this. They've tried to change the terms of that discussion to be about like something else entirely.
Yeah.
This is a really common tactic they've been using. Like we bring a proposal that feels like simple, focused on a specific issue that's happened in the workplace, very relevant, like something has happened recently, we need to address this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, this conversation isn't actually about the topic you brought up. It's about something entirely different that we are going to determine.
And
it's like, if you want to talk about that other topic, like bring a different proposal to the table. Like a lot of what they've been doing in bargaining feels a lot like bad faith, but they have a very savvy lawyer, and I think...
Oh, that'll do it.
Yeah, she's a piece of work.
God, they brought lawyers in. That's
I know, the
so
lawyer
intense.
Must be so expensive, too, and I'm like, we're in a budget crisis.
Could have just, you know, accepted the demands and move along.
I know. It's just, to me, it's so sad because... It feels like the person who should be in charge of this organization, like if it were me, you know, just hypothetically, I would like see this happening with the workers who are doing all the work of making the program function and doing all the direct support with the artists who are the focus of the organization and be like, you know, I want this to continue. And I just, you know, need to actually see what people are saying and work towards the thing that will make this work. Yeah. Like, it feels so simple to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not in charge.
What's the future looking like?
And,
like, maybe for listeners, like, are there ways that folks can support?
One really successful and kind of connecting action that we organized and executed was a sort of informational picket, I guess you could call it, at an event that brought together progressive studios from all over the country, and sort of many community members and people who are like interested in CE showed up to this event. We just stood outside and like had our sign and we talked to people and gave them information, because I think a lot of people in the community who are like longtime supporters of CE just don't know what's going on with these like workplace dynamics. And I think that the board of CE so far has been pretty hands-off and supportive of the executive director. And I think if they understood that more people in the community were like, this is not right, like something really wrong is going on.
Yeah.
And just were like talking about it with them, I think they would probably feel a little more motivated to like hold her accountable, look at some of her management tactics. If you know, if anyone who like comes to the events at Creativity Explored, like, you know, just talks to anyone there, or like, you know, just brought, I guess, bringing visibility and awareness to this to make the conversation happen more outside of just the workers and, like, you know, including more like broad members of the community, that kind of thing.
For, I wouldn't say this ever, but for folks that are listening, that are maybe thinking of how many art organizations are in a like financial crisis, I'm sure that comes up a lot as a defense of all the stuff they're doing. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, it definitely does. And, you know, we are like, that element of this, I think, is super important to us, because the staff at CE are all like, you know, devastated the more we hear about these like arts institutions that are not able to make it. And to me, I think it just says something about like some of the nonprofit models like underlying some of these things. And like that to me even supports the argument of like fundamental shift around budgetary stuff. Like we've been asking for example, just like cost of living considerations to be like taken into account when budget planning is happening. Like that is something that for them is like such a radical idea, but like for us, radical change in the budget is actually like what needs to happen to make it sustainable for the future. Like currently the budgets are not working. Like there's already such a like deep flaw in the way. And so whether that means like changing funding models, like looking at other sources in like such in a really radical way, like we all have the same goal of like keeping this service available in the community. It's like a home for so many artists and so many clients and staff. You know, it's just like should be this folk. The priority should be keeping this community resource there. And it's just, I think there's a lot of focus from management on like growth and like kind of like corporate budget models. And like there's just the mismatch, I think, is very present in this issue of these, you know, arts institutions closing, because maybe there's, you know, a sense that if nonprofits or like community organizations could shift to be more like corporate or tech aligned type budgets, it would just like work because that's so profitable. But it's like, that's not what it's about. Like, that's not what these arts institutions are like for.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah, so you need to have a totally like radically different model. I know this sounds so abstract even to me, but I just feel like there's so much knowledge that we all have, actually, like people who have worked at CE for decades, like real like institutional knowledge and commitment to like making it work. So I do think, you know, if we all kind of were like, let's figure out a different, like really different way structurally that this could work and keep going, I feel like we could come up with something. Like,
of course.
Yeah. 'Cause there's a need for it in the community. It's not like we're just like, you know, skimming on the surface.
For sure.
Yeah.
Have you done union organizing before?
No, I haven't.
I was on the bargaining team for the adjuncts union at SFAI. Oh, cool. It was the first union thing I ever did.
Yeah.
I felt like a fish out of water. Yeah. But your guys union is not connected to a larger union, or it is?
No, we are connected to AFSCME, like the, for like museums and cultural workers.
Oh, cool. Okay. So do they have like a representative that comes and consults with you?
We do have a rep. We had a different rep who was actually kind of like preparing for retirement. And so he retired, and then now we have a new rep, Kate.
Oh, that's my name.
And so that's been a cool transition, just like starting to work with her and get her up to speed on what's been going on. We have support from our rep, and I think she's working on like 7 first contracts right now, I think. So I think she's spread really thin, and I think we're all kind of like overwhelmed by the amount of work it takes to just like,
it's bananas. Bargain. Yep.
And you know, management, I see Linda, you know, or sorry, the executive director, sitting in the conference room at CE, like, and I'm like, oh, you're probably like working on some of this stuff. And like, I'm not able to work. I work in direct service. So I'm just like working with the artists. So all the work I do on like union bargaining stuff is just like on my own time at home.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's just such a drastic, I think, inequality in like the resources. The way we're, the resources and the support and the way we're able to come to the table. And even despite all that, we're working so hard to show up and be like, we actually have something really important to say, and we're trying to contribute to an agreement that would be mutually beneficial. Like, and I think that the interest is just not shared.
Frustration.
Super frustrating.
Yes.
And just like, it really burns you out. Like, it's real.
Is there, maybe we can cut this if it's a red zone, but sure. Is there a possibility you all might go on strike?
We have like talked about it many times based on like things that have been happening in the studio. And I think we have like had a slow road of organizing to the level where we feel prepared to like do that, where everyone is like, feels like this is the right thing. And we have a really organized and strong plan about it. Because I think our concern is that we wouldn't want to like harm the, like, you know, we wouldn't want to disrupt the service that we provide to our clients. Yeah. But I do think there's a way to do that and for it to be organized where like supportive managers or directors are like able to, you know, cover the studio while that kind of thing happens, because there are just some things that I think, you know, deserve that level of like serious, like this can't continue.
Yeah. This was a big thing with the SFAI union, mm-hmm. because we were kind of trying to organize a strike.
Uh-huh.
Or even just a work stoppage,
yeah.
for like a day, like anything like that. And there was, within the bargaining unit, there was a lot of discord about like, is that okay? Is it mean to the students? Like, mm-hmm. people were, you know, yeah. of course, reasonably so concerned about the students. But I felt like in the long run, it's better for students and better for everybody if there's fair pay and
exactly
and, you know, support of the workers that are the ones providing yeah. all of the work that
yeah and making it happen.
Exactly. So yeah, but you yeah. guys have a much smaller bargaining unit, mm-hmm. so it's easier to get consensus.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people like have come a long way, I think, in terms of just understanding that something does need to change, because I think the work culture at CE, definitely, there's a lot of people who have been there a long time, because it's, you know, I think it like becomes part of someone's life, and it's like, you know, people who have been there for decades, and I think it's hard to shift so quickly to being like, you know, this organization is doing something that we as workers don't agree with, and we can have an organized approach to, like, with our own experience and perspective to say, like, you know, this could work better. I don't think it's, like, out of the question, because I do think, like you're saying, it would ultimately benefit the artists to have supported, you know, care staff and supported teachers. And I think many of the, you know, families and care providers of our artists would be very, you know, interested in supporting, you know, an effort to make sure the staff are getting what they need. And I think a successful strike in our case would organize like all of these people, not just the bargaining unit, just like community members as well, so that there could be, you know, an understanding about what we're doing, so it's not just like we're leaving the artists out, because that's what it's all about. Like, and I think it only works because the staff do have such a strong commitment to the service we provide to the artists.
Of course. Okay so NIAID and uh-huh. Creative Growth are having pretty much like a similar
yes
situation. Are you all working together at all?
We are in communication, and I had a lot of help from a member of the Creative Growth bargaining team, like getting started, because they did start their bargaining before we did. And it was super helpful for me to see some of their just like contract language that they were proposing.
Sure.
And to
That's
get a
so
sense.
Helpful.
Yeah. For like what is even kind of possible, or. And also just being, for myself, being new to union organizing and bargaining, that was, yeah, really supportive. And I think, you know, because the organizations are so similar, there's a lot of overlap. And I think the way that management in each case is pushing back is quite different.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. Like, I think Creative Growth is a lot farther along with their bargaining process. And NIAID is I think that they're kind of struggling with management to get to a place where ground rules are even sort of appropriate for the bargaining team, and it's like supportive. I think management is kind of blocking some of those things that need to happen.
What the hell is going on?
I know. It feels so...
It doesn't make any damn sense.
It feels ridiculous. I think there's a lot of fear and defensiveness and ego coming up in this. Like, this is my this is my personal kind of assessment being in this situation for so long. But I think that, like, a lot of our goals really are not that misaligned. Like, once we get down to, like, nitty-gritty stuff, when we can actually talk about... like specific areas of interest and like what we both actually want, we can get to a place where what we want, we're realizing it's like not that far apart. But I think that management's reaction to all of our proposals is first extremely defensive.
Right.
And everything we write with an intention to be protective of bargaining unit members, they counter with language that is the maximum level of permissive for management. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's almost like they're imagining the worst case scenario every time. Like when, you know, I think protective language in a contract is, it's not because you're going to have to like, you know, the worst thing is going to happen every time. I think it's just like, it feels better to have those protections, and it's difficult, but I do think we have learned a lot and are like just redirecting the dog. There's a lot of sniffs in here. Come here. Sorry, we can...
Organizing dogs is a lot easier than organizing people.
I know. She wants to participate in like a thing, in a community or agreement that ends up working for her and me. It's mutual benefit.
Yes. If everything was just two people.
I think what's really gotten to me lately.
Or a person and a dog.
Yeah. If everything was just a person and a dog.
So much easier.
Yeah. My like real frustration lately has been this realization that management is actually invested in maintaining the problem that we're trying to solve.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that creates this conflict that is stopping everyone from moving forward. Like, I want there to be like a real openness from them to being like, this is not working, because it's obviously not working. They know it's not working because they're floundering and like they're disciplining us. Like, mm-hmm. They have to know it's not working. And we know it's not working. We've been, you know,
Living in it
and saying it and writing letters about it. And so if we both know it's not working, then we look for ways to make it work.
You, what's the relationship with the board? Is that...
Yeah, that's been really interesting, because we have a board member who actually sits on management's bargaining team, which is pretty non-standard. And we thought that that might be an opportunity for that board member to kind of see what's going on.
Yeah.
From the inside. And we've also separately, like as staff, written letters to the board about certain topics, and more recently asking for executive director evaluation and like oversight because of like some leadership concerns. And we've gotten responses. It's not that they're totally unresponsive, but the board at Creativity Explored is quite large. And I think many board members live elsewhere. They're not all local to the Bay Area.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So, and it's grown a lot in the last like 6 to 8 years since the current executive director has. So I think there's been some dynamics and shifting.
Do you know offhand how many people are on the board?
It's like more than 15 people.
Shoot.
It's a lot of people. And we're not a very large organization. So it's very non-standard, I think, for the board to be that large. Yeah. I know that they have met and to discuss like union things that are going on, and they're engaged, but I think none of our outreach has quite yet triggered like independent review that needs to happen. And I think we'll keep maintaining contact with them and trying to like keep them updated on our side of things. Because that does feel like it should be a place for recourse.
Yeah.
In this kind of situation.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay. When you started the union organizing, well, okay, I imagine kind of how it went with the SFAI organizing. Like, mm-hmm. we started out with a really broad, like, list of demands mm-hmm. or things we wanted in our contract.
Yeah.
And then it got kind of whittled down.
Right.
Did that happen to you all?
I think we, like, polled everyone in the bargaining unit with the survey to try and get a sense of, like, what was important to people. And we had people write in stuff. It wasn't just, like, a click the bullet, you know. It was meant to be open-ended so we could kind of collect as much info as possible. And I think from that, we had a sense of, like, strongest priorities, but also a list of things that were kind of general priorities. And then I think it's really evolved over time based on how, like, management has responded to bargaining. And we've now, like, we've made proposals about, like, just cause discipline standards, you know, mm-hmm. in response to unfair discipline, disciplinary practices. So it's been evolving, I think, based on the situation at work. And I think the budget deficit, I think, has changed a lot of our expectations around, like, what's possible economically. Because sure. a lot of our economic proposals were pushed to the back burner when the budget deficit was, you know, revealed and presented to be as serious as it was, which I believe in the budget deficit. I understand, like, what's going on with that. And I also think we've had deficits before. And I do think, you know, it's a way for them to not talk about, like, deep structural financial issues or, like, cost of living issues. So that's felt frustrating to me. The way we've gotten responses about all of our economic proposals has been, like, the industry standard says this, and, like, we can only do this. And I think it's just taking for granted that all budgetary decisions are, like, a choice that they're making. And restructuring the budget is an option and, you know, feels necessary from their side as well as from our side.
Of course.
We just want to be part of that conversation. Like, because right. people want to stay working at CE. Like, I don't think
we don't
want to have to leave because we can't afford to, like, stay. And,
right.
you know, maybe that's better for management, but it's not better for the artists. You know, the artists yeah. benefit from consistency in the staff who support them. And, you know, you're able to build community and, like, supportive networks if people are there for a long time. Like, that's what's happened in the history of CE. Like, we need to respect that and, like, learn from that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's so difficult when you love the organization and the people you work with so much and the organization's not really loving you back.
Yes, it's just, like, really sort of triggering in a way, like, just feeling really undervalued and, like, not recognized for the work you're doing. Almost like gaslit in a way.
Oh,
that's
God.
Not too strong
that
a term.
Was our that you know? At SFAI, that was our number one. People would have, like, you, because I think that term comes from a movie.
Yes
and people would have, like, stills from that movie.
Oh,
as
wow.
their background on Zoom.
That's pretty good. I need to do that. I might steal that, actually.
Oh my God. Like, yeah, gaslighting is
yeah.
It's like a tool.
Yes.
It's a tool that's used against you.
It is. Because if you bring something up and management is able to say, like, that's not really what's happening. And, like, the whole apparatus of, like, the handbook or the job description or the, like, whatever mechanism they've set up to, like, structure the narrative that they're pushing kind of supports what they're saying, you are kind of, like, doubting your reality. You're like, am I really experiencing this? Like, and the only way you know that you are is because so many of your coworkers are like, yeah, me too. Like,
solidarity.
Yeah, you have to fight gaslighting with solidarity. That's been super powerful, actually. And, like, I've really appreciated that from my coworkers. Just, like, we talk a lot, we're close. And I think, you know, we need to have that to, like, have this be sustainable. Yeah.
Okay, do you have any requests from listeners?
That's a good question.
Maybe just keep up to date. I'll put
yeah.
links to y'all, because you have, like, an union Instagram, right?
We do.
Yeah, I'll
yeah.
put a link to that.
We have an email address, too.
You want me to put that in?
Sure,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
You can reach out to us. I don't know, just, like, I'm interested in, like, community connections and, like, thoughts and ideas about this type of situation and like ways to build solidarity, I guess. Yeah, as I said, I'm pretty new to this.
Sure enough.
But feel, you know, feel empowered. If you want to reach out to the board, email them.
Gosh, yeah.
Some of their email addresses are online. Like, reach out.
Check it out.
I'm a creativity pressure. Yeah, I'm a Creativity Explored supporter, and I've been at the studio. I've visited the studio for the last 20 years, and I don't like that the workers are not being paid a living wage.
Say it.
But yeah, there's lots of ways to express solidarity that aren't, you know, I don't know how much the board is. I don't know how active they are at this time. I'm not feeling a lot of like active support from them. So
light a fire, people.
Yeah.
Get in there. Okay, well, we like to end every interview but with this question. Is there anything else you would like listeners to know?
Yeah, I've been really inspired by a lot of the like solidarity actions that I've seen from like workplaces. And I don't want to give up hope that there's like, you know, a way that some of these organizations can survive. I was really sort of like feeling super hopeful hearing this news about like Scrap recently.
Oh yeah.
They got the new building and I was just like, not every like arts organization has to be like going under and like floundering. Like, I don't know. I don't think that the city has to be, we don't have to like acquiesce to this like wave of like whatever, like tech and corporate bullshit, like making everything go away. Like, there's still like so many people who like want these things to remain, like, and, you know, support like a version of our community that like is supportive and works well. And yeah, just keep staying connected to that, I guess. I'm trying to do that.
I love that positive outlook.
Yeah.
Unions, people. Unionize.
Yeah, unionize. Strike.
Please.
General strike.
General strike. Let's go.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Well, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on. Yeah. And as always, congratulations.
Okay.